Welcome again to our series on the goodness and severity of God. God is a good God. And that is something we want to impress into your hearts. God is a good God. But I'd like to look at Psalm 11 with you in this period. And in Psalm 11, it speaks of the righteous God who loveth righteousness, who indeed walketh with the upright in heart. You know, we have a saying in life, and of course it's borne out in nature too, that likes go to likes. For example, birds of a feather flock together. And I don't know whether you have observed springtime that birds do flock together, and even birds with two, shall I say, stripes, black stripes, they all flow together, and those without the stripes, they flow together, but they don't mix. Likes go to likes. And one of the things that I have observed in life is this. If someone comes into church and I do not know them, and I need to know them, of course, I wait and I see. Whom do they relate to? Whom do they relate to? And it's true. It's not long before they'll associate with a certain group of people. Likes go to likes. And those that love righteousness, oh, they flock with others who are of the same mind. Those who are devious, well, they somehow find the others who are devious. It's a fact of life. You know, we made this statement when I was on the faculty of a certain Bible college, and we had a faculty meeting, and we were discussing the new intake. Now, the new intake, we really had no knowledge of them. We didn't know them, and we probably had only one or two lessons with them. May have been the first week or two. And we were musing together in the faculty. And we were saying, well, who is so-and-so like, and so forth. And then someone said, oh, I observed so-and-so walking with so-and-so. Oh, we said, we've got a problem there, haven't we? Because we had a problem with that other person. And this new fellow was immediately graviated to that person that we had trouble with. And others, well, they graviated with good people that we didn't have trouble with. But you soon know people by their friends. Even a child, you know, see who that child goes with. You know the child. You know the child. Well, it's the same with people. And it all comes from God. Because the righteous God loveth righteousness. He loveth the upright in heart. And he dwelleth in the midst of those who are upright and righteous. And I want to emphasize that, you see. And his blessing comes upon the righteous. He blesses the righteous. His goodness is manifested to those who are upright in heart. Upright in heart. Well, in this psalm, you see, Psalm 11, it speaks of the wicked and God's attitude toward the wicked. Upon the wicked, he shall shower brimstone, fire, burning, plagues. Yes, God makes a difference. And God blesses the righteous, and he judges with severity the wicked. The goodness and severity of God. But there are reasons why God manifests goodness to some and severity to others. It is because of their lifestyle. You know, there was a very wicked king in Israel. His name was Ahab. And he was the most wicked king of all the kings that had sat on the throne of Israel. And God sent drought into Israel for 3.5 years at the word of Elijah. Well, God judged Ahab and all his people because the people were just as wicked as Ahab. And the judgment came. But then Ahab, you know, did one wicked act of wickedness after another. Until God said, that's enough, sent Elijah after Ahab had murdered an innocent person, Naboth, and God sent Elijah. You know, you're going to die. Now then, Ahab, when he received that word from Elijah, he put on sackcloth and ashes, and he walked very softly before God. God said to Elijah, have you seen the effect of that word upon Ahab? In other words, Ahab has changed. He's acknowledged my word. He fears my word. And so God said, that judgment shall not come in his lifetime. The judgment will come because of all the wickedness he'd done. But God, seeing a turn, shows forth his goodness even upon the wicked man. God will bless. In fact, you know, later on in the history of Israel, now the northern tribes have gone into captivity, and there remains just the kingdom of Judah. We have the righteous king Hezekiah, followed by a very wicked king Manasseh, who spilt blood virtually in every street of Jerusalem, had idols everywhere. God's put him into captivity. He comes back repentant. But afterwards, his seed, well, Josiah was a good man, yes. But after that, there followed wicked kings until God had determined to destroy Jerusalem and the temple. But God was ever offering to those wicked kings, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah, he was always holding out his hand. He said, look, if you will change, if you will keep my Sabbath, if you will liberate your slaves amongst the Hebrews, he said, I will bless you, and I will not destroy Jerusalem. God was forever holding out his hands in his goodness and his kindness. And he was saying, look, even to the wicked kings, look, if you will change, I will avert judgment, and I will show forth my goodness, and I will cause the throne of David to remain forever. But some of these kings would do it just for a very short period and then afterwards revert to their wicked ways. And so judgment came. But we have to see the nature of God, that God desperately wants to show forth his goodness. He's abundant in goodness and truth. You know, once the Lord appeared to me, this is the Lord Jesus, appeared to me and put out his arm and said, touch me. I'm altogether goodness. And what I understood by that was that God wanted that goodness to be revealed in my own life. What is goodness? Well, it always does that which is best for a person. Now, of course, that can manifest in different ways. Provision, you know, a person needs help, they get provision. It also can mean discipline and chastening, because that might be best for a person at a given time. But that is also the goodness of God. Now, we said in Psalm 11 that the righteous God loveth righteousness. But upon the wicked, well, it's going to be different. He will send forth his plagues and his judgment. Now, I want to tell you a story, and you may be aware of it, you may not be aware of it. But it was in the time when the tsunami hit Sumatra in Indonesia. Now it's Christmas time, and there were Christians in that village. And the Christians wanted to celebrate Christmas up on a hill in that particular town. And so they made a decision to celebrate and worship God in that hill. Well, when that terrible tidal wave came, it destroyed countless homes, and how many people lost their lives, I don't know, amongst the people down below. Those who were not Christians. God preserved the Christians, but the Muslims were swept away. The interesting thing afterwards, who helped the survivors? Well, it was the Christian nations. Did the Muslim nations help? Not a bit. No. But it was the Christians that helped. And many of the Muslims said, well, our own people don't help us, but the Christians do. And many converted to Christianity. And those places that were destroyed had beheaded many a pastor. And I knew the families of some who had been, shall I say, deprived of their father because he was a pastor, and being beheaded in those places. Well, the point that I'm developing is this. You see, God makes a difference. God makes a difference. Now, there are wonderful promises in God's word that he will protect his people and provide for all their needs. And I'd like to turn now to Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is a psalm full of promises. But it starts out with, if I could say this, a condition. And it speaks of the one that dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, one who dwells in the very presence of God. And then afterwards, there follows these magnificent promises. You see, what is God like? Well, it says God in the Proverbs, it says God is a strong tower. He's like a fortress. And the righteous run in and are preserved. Well, wasn't that the case for the Suhami? Yes, it was. You know, the righteous were with God up on that mountain. The others were down below in the plain. Well, now, the point that I'm bringing out here is this. If you're dwelling in the right place, and the right place is in the very presence of God, if you're dwelling in that place, then I want to introduce you to the numerous promises that are made by the God through the psalmist in Psalm 91. And it is very beautiful and very reassuring, and it's something that we need in the days in which we're living. We need the assurance, don't we, that in these troublesome days in which we are entering, and it's virtually all over the world, we need assurance. And where's that assurance going to come from? It's going to come from the Word of God. And so Psalm 91 is very beautiful indeed. And as I said before, it starts off with "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of his wings." What a beautiful picture that is. You know, it's like Jesus said, you know, looking at Jerusalem, he wept. And he said, you know, "I wanted to protect you as a hen protecteth her chicks." Don't know if you've ever seen a hen protect her chicks. Well, we were in West Africa. And in West Africa, we were in the missionary's home, and suddenly there was a noise outside. And we went out to see it. Well, it was a chicken hawk that was flying and was diving towards a hen. And she had her little chicks. And she cluck, cluck, clucked. See, to get the chicks under her wings. And she did so, and she could drive off the chicken hawk. You see? And that's what the Lord is saying, you know, to Jerusalem. You know, if only you'd listened to me, if only you'd known the day of your visitation. He said, "I would have been like a hen. I would have put you under the shadow of my wings, and I would have protected you." Well, in Psalm 91, that's what it said. If we dwell in the presence of the Lord, we shall abide under his wings. And then look at all these promises that are contained. You know, in verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. You know, there's a wonderful promise there, isn't there? A wonderful promise. You know, many shall fall, but if we are abiding under the shadow of his wings, we shall be protected. We shall be protected. Then it speaks of pestilences. Oh, how many diseases there are in the world today. But we have this promise that the pestilence will not come nigh us. And I was in South Africa, and they told me this wonderful story of a plague. This was many years ago in the last century, early century. And there was a plague. And it was hitting township after township in the black areas. And people were dying from it. And they cried out to God. And God sent them a missionary in the form of Reverend John Lake. And he went there. And he prayed. He said, "Lord, stop this plague." And you know, as he prayed, the plague literally stopped. It literally stopped. It went no further. It stopped and it died out. It did not affect the other townships. It stopped there where Reverend Lake prayed. And not only that, where it had afflicted people, that plague diminished and died out. Oh yes, Psalm 91 is real. Psalm 91 is real. It speaks of God providing for his people. And this is the point that I want to emphasize. God is a good God. And you know, if we will walk in his ways, we shall be beneficiary of the goodness of God. You know, what did King David say? Psalm 23, he said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, we had a friend. His name was Reverend Stanley Frodsham. I mention names sometimes because some listening to me may have known this wonderful man or heard of him. He was an author, and he was also editor of the Pentecostal Evangel. Well, you know, it was very wonderful indeed to meet him and to know his wonderful life. But he was accosted by a lady in his town who knew him. And she was a spiritist medium. And he was walking along the street, and she came to him and held out his hand and said, "Oh, Reverend Frodsham, let me tell you your future." He pulled it away and he said, "My future has already been told. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Well, isn't that a testimony you'd like to have? It's like two angels just following you, looking after you. They'll be merciful to you. They will not let you fall. And the other one would just shower you with God's goodness to you, that all you have need of, God will supply. Well, you know, the goodness of God and the severity of God. You know, when God holds out his hands and offers you his goodness and says, "Look, come unto me, all you that are laden and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." In other words, become a yoke fellow with me. Walk with me on the pathway of righteousness. Walk in the precepts of my word. Pray every day. Read the word every day. Ask me to come into your heart and forgive you your sins. And then he said, "Look, walk with me as a yoke fellow. Yoke together with the Lord Jesus Christ." And you see, if we would do that, he promises to give us rest. Rest in the time of trouble. Rest in our old age. Rest in a sense that you know whatever is going to happen in this world, you will be taken care of. And you'll be taken care of by the one who runs the universe. You know, so many people look to the government for help. Well, the government can run out of money, you know. The money, you know, the government can lack wisdom. They can make mistakes. But if your trust is in God, the Father, who is a good God, who is abundant in goodness and loves to care for his people, you know, it doesn't matter what's going to happen. He will provide for you. And that's what we're trying to say in this series. Look, God is a good God. God loves you. God is not willing that any be lost. And he's made ample provision that you, if you would turn to Jesus as your Savior and ask him to come into your hearts and cleanse you from your sin and wash you by his blood, God is there, God the Father is there to look after you and provide for you. And I tell you this, things are going to get worse, and we need to know God, the God who provides, the God who watches over, the God who says no one can pluck you from my hand. No, no one can. Won't you come to the Lord now and be a beneficiary of his blessings, so that in reality goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and that you will dwell in the house of the Lord in heaven for all eternity. May God grant that that be your portion. Bless you.